Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. And today on Hercules and the Space Gods, I'm proud to bring you Star Center Olympus, Unarian Revelations. Our panelists today are Celeste Pell and Jennifer Stovall, and our topic will be What is Infinite Love? Greetings and welcome, Celeste and Jennifer. How are you?
Greetings. Hello.
Doing great.
Yes.
I'm very glad to hear that, and this is indeed an appropriate topic with Valentine's Day just 2 days away.
Yes, it is.
Now, the Greeks have many words for love, and I won't go through a catalog of all of them, but we have like philia, which means friendship, and then we have erotis, which is where the word erotic comes from, and that's the kind of love that the people have when they're attracted to each other. And then we have agape, which is unselfish love, you know, kind of like a deep, infinite love, I guess you call it. Mm-hmm. How does Unarius define infinite love?
Jennifer, you want to go first?
Well, infinite love is the energy and frequency from higher dimensions. And so it's not limited to this dimension, and it's something that many people can experience when they tune into it. So both words can mean a lot: infinite in itself, regenerative, going on forever, eternally. For Unarius, it's a progressive infinite, and then the love, that's compassionate understanding. So when you put those together, it's quite a great, it's like a super force in the universe that connects all things, that links all things together. And so it kind of puts us together, and also that's what has us apart, you could say. And so there's so much to talk about, because it's really something we're just beginning to learn of. It's something that each person for themselves has to learn about, understand, and then apply energy principles. But when they do, then they'll know that they have touched that infinite love. And so it could be said, you know, it's like love at your first transcendency. When you become transcended, any person has that awareness and that feeling of love from all these higher beings, then you know that you're experiencing that infinite love. And then you experience it in your life in so many different ways, whether it's healing, being creative, having a better outlook on life, getting along with people better. I mean, it has all sorts of effects depending on what's needed. So that's just a beginning, and I know Celeste can go into a lot more.
Wow. Thank you very much, Jennifer.
Actually, I think Jennifer kind of gave a well-rounded answer there. Basically, love is life, and it's a source of life, and we call it infinite creative intelligence rather than a god, because it's totally impersonal, unemotional. Most of us, when we first experience love in our life, it is very personal, right, with another person, whether it's your parents, your siblings, and then as you grow up, romantic, so-called love. So I would say it's the regenerative power of infinite creation, which is really all-encompassing. And as Jennifer mentioned, when you're aware of this infinite creative intelligence or infinite love, then you can develop your higher attunement to these high energy frequencies to receive more of it. Because I know everyone is searching and seeking for love, right? And we all tend to, till we learn, we all tend to look outside of ourselves, not realizing that we really have that love within ourselves. And we just have to be open to receive it, and then it expands within our own consciousness, and then we can be sub-channels, so to speak, of the infinite creative source of energy as we become a part of it.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Knowing
that
it's
is
always
beautiful.
There. I think I was just going to mention.
Go ahead.
I was just going to mention knowing that it's always there at any moment that we can attune to it, and that it really interpenetrates all living things, all people, all places. It's very exciting because it really means that you can live with a whole different perspective in mind.
Now, for someone who is not mystical or hasn't been very mystical in their life, how would this be different so they could understand it with than the feelings of love that they already have? Which were, you know, just basically friendship love, familiar or unselfish love, and also romantic love. Those are words that people are familiar with, and they understand what that means for the most part. And whether they feel they want more or not, how would they know if infinite love came into their life?
Well, I would say that it's all a start. Go ahead, Celeste. Yeah.
I would say that's as unique as an individual, and Jennifer really touched on it, is when you have a transcendent moment, you could be not with people at all. Maybe you're enjoying a beautiful sunset, and you're just in the moment, and you feel so peaceful and calm and integrated. You're experiencing infinite love at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I think that... All forms of love is a beginning point, but then when you want to expand it, it's not for a singular singular person. It involves, the infinite involves just hundreds of thousands of spiritual beings, worlds, from the macrocosm to the microcosm. So you just feel such a part of everything. When you stop, you just feel that, when you're doing something, you're not alone. So it takes away, that feeling of aloneness, but you feel totally engulfed in entire energy of love and of well-being. And just in the questing, for anyone who's starting, just in questing, what is that really about? And asking yourself, when in your life have you touched on that? Maybe it's been when you were moved to, compassionate act for someone, and something happened that brought you very close to someone. There's so many different forms of love, but then that infinite, it just has that lasting effect. So when you come across it again and you're remembering it, you feel that upliftment in your consciousness. So that's one way, but everyone's going to feel it differently. Like Celeste said, it's very unique to each person.
Wow. Celeste, would you care to expand upon that?
Well, I could maybe share my personal journey in terms of trying to understand more the broader understanding of love, more from a spiritual perspective. When I was a truth seeker and first discovered Unarius and started reading the text, and I had been involved in a relationship that got pretty serious, and it was no longer positive, and I was having a really hard time trying to make it work and being able to end it. And I realized that I had some really low feelings of self-esteem, how some people think, well, I found the one true love in my life and I'm never going to find this again. And of course, that's erroneous. How many billions of people are there in the world, right? Mm. And each relationship you have is unique. It's not going to be the same as you experience with someone else, but, there's things about a relationship with another person that would be different. So when I began to study, I realized that my so-called feelings of love were really guilt, which was keeping me tied to this person. And I was helped by the Brothers of Light, our teachers, spiritual teachers, to understand a specific past life where I had, in quotes, accidentally killed the individual. And then I realized that I was attracted to this person because I'd actually had many past life experiences with them. So there was a familiarity, already rapport, you know, with this person. And then I realized that because I wasn't being open and receptive to infinite love, which is definitely a part of Unarius and was being expressed by the teacher Uriel, who was in the physical at the time I first became a student, that I had these low feelings of self-esteem because I had many different lifetimes where I had gone against the light and taken part in plots to get rid of the spiritual teachers that were incarnated at that time and really had heavy karma in that way. So it was those feelings of guilt and low self-esteem, those were blocking my being open to receiving this infinite love through the connection to my own higher self. And so then I realized, well, I don't have to look outside myself, you know, to find love or to feel happy, that this is something, again, that's really within myself, that I can develop that inner hookup to receive these love energies at any time. And particularly we find as Unarius students, when we uncover blocks and shocks from the past and have a what we call a workout, we accept our personal responsibility and have a healing, then there's this really tremendous inflow of this love energy. And it's unmistakable and just makes you so joyous. You want to run out and down the street and, you know, shout and tell everyone about it. So that develops that stronger hookup with your inner self and the true love that I was really seeking that was, you know, there all along. And so then it gives you a great sense of inner peace and self-esteem that you're not dependent on another person. Your happiness is not dependent on another person. So even though it can be very traumatic that, say, you lose a loved one, whether it's the natural causes or accident, you understand there's a continuity of life and this person is moving on, graduating, going to the spiritual world, hopefully if they're more developed, going to school on the temples in the inner worlds, and then will incarnate and come back again. And so then eventually you can realize that, you know, if you're still sad, you're hanging on to that relationship. But the more you develop this inner hookup, then you feel joy for them and you don't feel a sense of loss because you're not wanting something from them. Because most of the time, the love that we have with other people, if we're really honest about it, it's not totally unconditional. It's got attachment and it's selfish. And so that's why we feel a sense of loss when that relationship ends for whatever reason.
Wow, that introduces a whole new dimension to the discussion, and it raises a lot of questions. But before I get to the questions, Jennifer, would you care to expand upon what Celeste shared?
No, I love it. It was beautiful what she said. For myself, I was going to San Diego State University, and also my boyfriend at the time, Dennis, was also, and then he found Unarius, and he came and told me about it, and was just so taken up with it, and he wanted immediately to start studying, and he had a background in a preconditioning, and I didn't have much of a preconditioning at the time, so I decided to start studying by myself, and I had my own experiences, beautiful psychic experiences in reading the infinite concept of cosmic creation, and then having a healing, a physical healing of a backache where I was reliving being an Indian, and I got a reading on that. And so there were very small steps, but they were enough to, and so different than everyday living your life experiences. So I started to go to the center, and it took a good, I'd say, good 6 months to a year of just being in class, and then I started to experience this transcendency that students have, and we have at meeting times, but it's available anytime, really. It's available when you, if you study or listen to the tapes or attune to your higher self. But I needed that, and then that was it for me, and I started to see how I was really limited in my understanding, and I had love for this person, but as Celeste was saying, the underlying issue was dependency. You know, I depended on this person and looked up to this person and needed to develop on my own. So I was the one that actually decided, you know, I need to grow, and had broken up with, we had a split at that time, and then have been on the journey ever since to experience that in all of its different forms. So we're constantly learning and knowing that it's there, and it's a very, very beautiful thing that each one can find out for themselves.
Wow. So when people fall in love, if I understand correctly, it's often a karmic thing, that there's some, we recognize the other person and there's some karma to be resolved?
Most yeah. definitely.
Yes. And it's like you see this person and, you know, you're looking at them, and that information from your past, whenever you look at anyone, of course, you're tuning into their energy, and then that goes back to you through your, you know, through the eyes and your brain, and it goes into the different levels of consciousness, the subconscious, and then the mental conscious, which has this, the past lifetimes, and then the superconscious. So when you have these attractions, I mean, it's not 100%. There are people that don't have as much karma, but this is where we get the opportunity to balance those issues from the past. And we need to come back and see what happened in the past and to work it out, as we say. So a lot of times, yeah, I can have that feeling initially, and then there can be the other. But once you have a workout and a releasement, there's so much greater love, this infinite love, and you see the spiritual side of the person, and they see your spiritual side, and so it just that's really a fantastic outcome of working out the karma with other people.
Wow. Celeste?
Well, you know, there's varying degrees of karma with another individual. Of course, you have positive relationships from past lives. You could have been mother-son, could have been friends, could have been someone that, you know, you had another familial relationship with. So it depends. But I think what we see the most of that is not understood by society is when people are attracted to someone that's abusive and they can't leave the relationship, or if they do, they tend to attract another situation where it's not that dissimilar and the person doesn't treat them right and disrespects them, and it could be physically abusive. And it could be male or female, but it's usually more female because they're, quote, in a more of a compromised position, I guess, in our society, and for the most part. So they aren't understanding that the reason they are attracted to that person is often the reverse, that they're the ones that have been abusive to that individual in a previous lifetime. so they're attracted out of guilt, and then their guilt keeps them in the relationship. So once they would understand the past life continuity, perhaps it's someone that they injured in some way in a previous lifetime, and then they attracted them back to themselves in the present in a relationship, then they can no longer have that strong negative emotional attachment and can be free, and that other person can be free too, regardless if they are told of what the past life is. They may not be ready for that because they're changing the bias of the energy that they're sending out to the other person. It's no longer got the strong negative bias. Now it's more positively biased and balanced because they've understood the past life of it, and they've learned the lesson of it. And so the souls are free to move on and then hopefully find more healthy relationships.
And then they fall out of love, as it were, and again, that feeling of falling in love again will come when the right person, whether it's for good or bad karmic reasons, comes along.
Yeah, because love is really, for most people, based on emotional feeling, and they're just learning about what Jennifer was talking about, where you see the true essence and appreciate in that other soul of their own spirituality, their higher self, and their connection to infinite creative intelligence. And then that's unconditional love. And that's more, I think, what people experience with children in particular. You know, the child is, quote, naughty, and the parent may get upset, but they still love the child, whereas if you have a spouse that over and over keeps repeating a negative pattern of behavior, you may decide you don't want to live with that anymore. You may still have feelings with them, but, well, you know, I'm going to go my own way. So that could be a difference.
Thank you very much. Jennifer?
Well, I was thinking of the higher forms of relationship, which is so important in the idea of polarity, because that's really what we're learning about and you know, growing with people now and into the future, so that in future lifetimes we have this positive polarity, and that's what these higher spiritual beings have done. They've developed this polarity ship, and so they go to the higher spiritual worlds, and without this karma, they don't have to come back and reincarnate and have to go through all of those experiences. But I think polarity is a very important thing to understand, energy concept to understand in life, because all relationships have to have a positive and negative back and forth. And one of the beautiful things that we've learned about too is that it can really be helpful at a time when one of them is, let's say, has a huge health issue, and the couple has developed this beautiful ball of energy as a polarity, and that energy can be drawn on, so that can be, that person can have a lot of help. And there have been, you know, couples, and then that have, there have been, you know, there are couples that have that more positive polarity. And the greatest example is Ruth Norman and Ernest L. Norman. And they, you know, they came here for the sole purpose to bring in this light, to bring in this infinite love in everything that they did. And it's a wonderful example for everyone. And it's in the books. So if people read the books or they listen to the tape, CD, MP3s, you can start to attune and feel that energy. And you know that, you know, that is definitely coming from a higher source.
And I'm glad you brought up the Normans, because a lot of other questions arose as you were both speaking. Were the Normans soulmates?
We wouldn't use the term soulmates. They overshadowed in their higher self archangels. So they were definitely very super polarities, but they have their own Biden or spiritual other half. And on the other side, when you become so developed in the spiritual world, it's got nothing to do with sex or gender. It's truly, as Jennifer said, a polarity rate relationship, positive and negative poles, so to speak, oscillating of energy between these two souls. So Raphael's spiritual polarity was, gosh, I'm drawing a blank, Uriel. And Uriel's spiritual polarity was Michael, who overshadowed Leonardo da Vinci and Nikola Tesla. Often these higher beings don't incarnate together in the same lifetime. One will be on the other side because there's more help that can happen with the mental oscillation with the one that's in the physical. So Uriel speaks of it in her autobiography, Bridge to Heaven, and in the same named videos, Bridge to Heaven, where she's interviewed, she talks about this relationship with Ernest Norman and how they set it up before they incarnated in their higher self as archangels to bring a new spiritual understanding for humankind at this time. It was very needed, and it needed to have them incarnate and overshadow physical beings to, in a more direct way, help souls. And they were also overcoming a previous lifetime when they had been Jesus and Mary of Bethany, and Jesus' mission was cut short. Magdalene, Mary of Bethany, she was engaged to him and to be betrothed. So they were also working out that past, and that was an early part of their relationship. So he knew Ernest Norman inwardly. He had developed a really advanced clairvoyance already, but he had not started writing books, channeling books, and he knew that he was to write books, but he knew that there was this person he was searching for that was to help him. And so conscious mind didn't remember, and he and Uriel met at what would be considered now like a psychic fair in the LA area, and she was waiting to have a reading. And while she was waiting, he came up and he started talking to her, and he started telling her things about her deceased husband that only she and her husband would have known. And she finally forgot all about the reading and started talking to Ernest. And she gave him her phone number and said, well, you know, let's go out for coffee. And that happened within, I think, a day or so. And while they were out, suddenly he started channeling this beautiful poetry. And, of course, they didn't have a reel-to-reel tape recorder with them because this is back in 1954. So she started taking it down longhand. And that was the beginning. And then as things unfolded, they realized there was a master plan.
It's interesting because I was thinking about the same thing about the expo. And then also he was telling people, I'm looking for this brown-eyed woman, who's going to help me. And that was it. And so, yeah, he was searching for her. And because he knew that she would be that polarity for him, and as he has said, not because he's irascible or something like that, or, you know, he couldn't be lived with or something like that, but just that she would have that understanding. She would have that level of consciousness. So then he could channel the books, and that she would help him with that. And it, you know, it proves itself out. And here we have the beautiful library of Unarius.
And it's a vast and wonderful library. I was looking at all the books that I have today on my shelf, and there's a lot of wonderful information contained therein, and I don't think a lifetime's enough to absorb it all. There's just so much of it.
No.
So true. And, you know, we're rereading chapters right now in class. We're Tempus Presidium, and we're reading ABCs of Immortality and on Healing. And it's amazing because we've all read those chapters before, but every time we go back, they mean that much more. We get, because each book being impinged with this higher, this infinite love, this vortex of beautiful energy, you know, we tune into that vortex of energy and receive that at every point. So you come back, it's brand new. It's really, I think that's so amazing, and I love that.
I love that too. And so when people feel that they found their soulmate or their twin flame, as it's sometimes called, they're actually like feeling an echo of a polarity, maybe?
Sure.
Yes, it could be. And there are famous examples of soulmates or polarities with people, I believe.
Eisenhower,
President Eisenhower, and his wife Mamie, and the Nixons were polarities. But often what happens when they're incarnated and in a relationship together, they're such a mirror reflection of one another. They're really so similar. You know how if you don't like something about yourself and you see it in another person, you can have really strong reactions. Well,
yeah.
They can have a lot of a lot of discordant or disharmony in their relationship because of that. So it's not necessarily a marriage made in heaven to say, oh, if I find my soulmate, only if I find my soulmate, am I going to be happy? So again,
right.
Often the soulmate is on the other side, and it's actually of more help to the individual in their life can, in terms of maybe an inner guidance like Uriel experienced that with Mikey L. And after Ernest Norman made his transition into 1971, because he'd completed the mission, he brought through the core text, and the second phase of the mission began. And Uriel, through subchannels, started channeling a whole series of books called Tesla Speaks. And it was Nikola Tesla, but the Overself, Mikey L., which was her spiritual biome. And there was tremendous amount of love shared between them and information and this high-frequency energy. And so he was able to help from the other side more so than when he was Nikola Tesla here, and she was incarnated as Ruth Norman, because Tesla was still alive when Ruth Norman was born in 1900. So that's a wonderful example. And then we understand that the Mona Lisa was not really a physical person, that Leonardo was painting his polarity, Uriel, and Uriel even dressed up as the Mona Lisa, and there's a picture in our little book called the Mona Lisa, and it compares how she looks dressed up compared to the famous painting, and there's just a striking resemblance. So he loved that painting and took it with him when he went to France to live with but it was at Louis the 16th toward the end of his life, and Louis the 16th ended up having the painting there after Leonardo made his transition. But he loved it because it allowed him to have that love oscillation even in a stronger way, to tune into it with his polarity, Uriel, on the inner world.
Yeah, and the effect that it's had, I mean, everyone wants to go see the Mona Lisa, right? Everyone knows about the Mona Lisa, and why is that? Because it carries that infinite love. Yeah,
that's a wonderful little book. That's in my library as well. That is a wonderful book. So ultimately and eventually, we have this love inside of us, regardless of what our relationship is with other people. And you know, how, what our relationship is all about, whether it's a karmic or whether it's a polarity type of situation where we were born into the world to accomplish something and to anchor that divine love. That brings up the whole issue of love as a healing force. What did the Unarian revelations say about that?
Almost definitely love is a healing force because it's a source of all energy, high frequency energy. So when we talk about having healing, that is the true example of that healing force of love that we've experienced in having a overcoming, a past life overcoming, which I talked about earlier. And polarity shift develops. How we develop that and learn about it is in family relationships. And so it's a development to the point where you could be souls like Ernest and Ruth Norman overshadowed by these very advanced archangels. And then it's, you know, a true biune or spiritual polarity. And so it's a development over thousands of lifetimes. And we have polarity shift where someone provides a positive balance or input in our lives. And that's what we are all seeking in relationships. And I know for myself, that's developed more and more with my husband, Jack, who's also a fellow student. And in fact, when we got married in 1994, the director of Unarius at that time, known as Antares, that was his spiritual name, had written a beautiful letter and given it to us the night before we were married, and it was inspired through his higher self and the teachers from the higher world telling us that we did have a lot of karma together, but as we worked out that karma individually and together the karma that we had, we'd be developing this stronger polarity shift. And instead of working together against the light in the past, we would be working together as polarities for the mission. And that would be the tie that would bind us together in developing that polarity shift, which most definitely has happened and continues to evolve. So that's kind of how I could explain it personally for myself.
Well, you're very fortunate.
Yes, I am. Particularly because it's someone who is on the same spiritual path as myself, like-minded. So, you know, some of the things I've gone through that are really traumatic experiences, whether I fell in the bathroom and was sick and was reliving a hanging, or, you know, I fell and broke my hip, or, you know, my husband had a close encounter with something that happened with him when he first had severe rheumatoid arthritis, and how I can't remember the name of the condition, but it could have blown out his walls of his heart, and he had the fluid drained. And while that was happening in the hospital, he saw in the past that there was an arrow shot into that area, so it was a healing. But I was a polarity support with him to help him to have medical help. And then in that process, you know, he was projected that image to complete the healing. So we've shared some really tremendous paths together individually where we've been a polarity and a support, which has been fantastic that we've had that help, or I can say it personally, that I've had that help with someone who has the same understanding and can be a positive polarity and sometimes can even be the channel for the information because you're so in phase with it at the time, you can't receive it for yourself. You're so relative to it. And that other person can say, you know, I see what's going on here, what you're reliving from the past. So it is a tremendous thing.
Yes, it is a tremendous thing, and Unarius is above all else about responsibility, taking personal responsibility and making changes.
I just wanted to add to what Celeste was saying, the importance of support, because maybe you don't have that support, but you might be with someone who has had some preconditioning. They are supportive in what you're doing. That can be a big help also. But I'm also thinking of the students that, you know, through the years have developed this polarity ship amongst ourselves. So when someone has a problem, they can come in and help and be that polarity for that person, you know, whether they're with someone or not. And I've seen that many times, and it's beautiful. So we act as polarities with each other in the group, and I think that that really grows that infinite love for all of us. And so it's very exciting when we've worked on projects and you have some idea about that person, and then you uncover the past, and then you have more appreciation after for who that person is and what they're doing and what their mission is, what they've set up to do. So there's so many aspects of that, and I can really appreciate just, you know, experiencing that polarity with all the other students in class and conclaves, anniversary, just all the time. It's there, and I just think that that's a very, very a positive thing.
I can vouch
as
for that.
Right now, as right now, Jennifer and I are polarities for each other and doing the interview, and I always feel, you know, I can do the interview by myself, but having that connection between us makes the inflow, I think, stronger. Like she says something and all of a sudden it triggers in my mind something else. It's like that back and forth. And the polarity ship is very strong in our classes, which is a wonderful thing. There's really high frequency energies projected during the time that we're all gathered. Because of that polarity ship, it regenerates between us all mentally, and there can be even more healing that can take place in terms of when you're in class having more awarenesses or students sharing information with you that maybe you didn't think about, again, as polarities.
Right. And the classes, the times of the classes have been set up from the very beginning when they were set up with Uriel and the moderator, that this is a time where the higher spiritual beings, the Unarian brothers, are projecting their energies at that time to the students and to the whole earth world, but especially at that time. And that's why we do feel more of that infinite love. And, I mean, I know for myself it's such a wonderful surcharge and upliftment, and I always feel helped and walk away with a very positive feeling afterwards.
I feel that when we do the podcast with all the students, actually, the Unarian students that have been on the podcast, I feel that there's a connection on a higher level, and that we're working together on getting this out there, and I've always felt that connection, and it's really, I guess, comforting to hear that this is something that is normal, I guess, in working together with other people to try to anchor infinite love into our world.
It's comforting and comfortable. You make it very comfortable, and I think that is very important. And I just wanted to mention, too, that I always get this feeling, no matter who's doing the podcast, but if I'm going to be interviewed, that there's this golden vortex of the three of us, and that we're right there in this beautiful golden vortex of energy with the brothers and all the students as well. So I just wanted to mention that because I thought of that early this morning, and it was just like, yeah, there it is. Okay. You know, and I feel that. And sometimes I actually see, you know, just it's just kind of a beautiful golden energy vortex connecting us. And, you know, it's just got a beautiful feeling about it.
And I don't think I've shared this, but I work with the golden energy all the time. That's the golden white energy that's associated with Olympus very often. And so that's something I swim in all the time. So thank you.
No. So I just jumped in.
Picture. That's a good picture. Well, Hercules, you are definitely a very positive polarity for us doing the podcast with you because you have made that connection with infinite creative intelligence and have this positive bias. And so, yes, I don't know what you would call it, with three polarities together specifically and then attuning to the higher beings that are oscillating with us while we're doing the interview. So it is a really beautiful thing, and we all really appreciate that polarity relationship with you, because we've always had the opportunity to interview with other people, and when it's not there, it's sometimes a lot more challenging to be in tune and have the information freely flow through if someone doesn't have that positive rapport with you. So it's a wonderful thing.
Thank you. I'm very touched and honored by your words, Celeste and Jennifer.
Well, I always have appreciated through the years how you have read the books and reread the books and really taken them deeply into your heart. And that, you know, I just think that's great. Thank you.
We've been doing this for years. I realized it the other day. I was, because now I'm moving some things to Zoom, and I've been looking over new material. And as I learn more about video, I've been thinking about how I can convert some of the old shows to video. I'm not there yet, but I'm on that path. And I looked at some of the like shows. Early on, it's going on 6 years just for this. And then when I was in Pennsylvania in northwestern New Jersey at a show, and you guys were on the show as well. So I'm sure this conversation's lasted for about a decade with a couple of gaps. And every time it's fresh and it's new and it's exciting for me.
Well, that's fantastic. I know time is slipping by to realize how many years have gone by. But I wanted to get back to talking about the Normans and how they really exemplified what we call love and action in their lives, because they were selfless in the sense that they did come as physical beings into what they could call a hell world. It was challenging to live in this world being a more advanced being. And to be here selflessly, to give of self, to bring these teachings, to be there as positive polarities for healing for the students and all that they did. And one of the things that just amazes me is how these beings in previous lifetimes, when we've maybe even brutally murdered them and stopped their mission because of that and changed their teachings and really went down the wrong road, that they have no judgment because they understand. They do have this compassionate understanding. They totally understand these energy principles to have that compassionate understanding and not judge us and understand where we were coming from in the past. And then they come back to give us the opportunity to see different past lives with them and work out those past lives. And that, to me, is the most selfless thing that one could do. I am not a developed being. I would have a hard time, I think, wanting to come back to the scene of the crime, so to speak, and encounter the same people. And maybe even in certain lifetimes, they had direct relationships with people. They weren't just their students. They could have been someone that lived in their household. There could have been a son even, someone that was in their, they were in charge of the government or royalty, someone that was part of that they interacted with all the time. And it was opportunity that for that soul to learn from that infinite love being expressed to them to try to develop a positive polarity shift with that higher being in a direct way. So that to me is the most wonderful example of their love in action. And then, of course, we try to emulate that in our lives at, to whatever level that we can, but we have to begin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. And I'm thinking of all of the beautiful, I've been using beautiful a lot, examples of demonstrations or experiences that we had when Uriel was here and how she would help each student. And it wasn't always just pointing up in front of people. Sometimes it was calling them on the phone, a letter. And it was just so beautiful as we start to look at how she worked and the mastery that she had and, you know, things that she would say and then later look upon our own, what we needed at the time. So that's always such an example and so appreciative that, you know, she did give us that time and stayed as long as she did. And now all of that information is for the world.
And preserved in the books and in the tapes and the DVDs and in the CDs and in all the clips that are out there. So the Normans left us quite a legacy. And Unarius as an organization is to be commended for keeping that fire lit and keeping the legacy alive and preserving all those words and making them available to the world.
Yes. It is.
Well, the words and the videos and the audio recordings, they have a vortex of energy behind them of very high frequencies because it's channeled from these high spiritual minds. And so that is the most important thing. It's not just the words. It's not just watching the video
right.
that individuals may not understand everything they're watching, but if they're open, those high frequency energies are going into their psychic body and planting seeds for the future. And so that's what we're really about, right, is spreading that love, that high frequency
mm-hmm.
energy through all the teachings.
Right.
Now, in the Unarian revelations, in Greek, there's a concept, because again, we have lots of words for love. It's called metanoia. And though it's usually translated as forgiveness, it's actually more like regret. It's a realization that you've done wrong. And that's considered to be the first step in trying to make things right, you know, and make better decisions to change how things are so that you don't have a karmic mess on your hand. Is that concept in Unarius as well?
Definitely. Mm. I think so. Regret, well, I don't know if I use the word regret, but awareness of what has been done in the past and the decision to go forward and be more positive. So, yeah, I think I'd put it more that way. Because, you know, this
remorse,
is a school.
Maybe,
so,
Jennifer?
Yeah. Yeah, I think remorse.
Yeah, maybe
remorse.
Remorse.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah.
That's a better word, yes.
Right, right.
Now, most of the
Uriel used to
go ahead.
I'm sorry.
We're all talking at once. Uriel used to say, you're your own judge, jury, and executioner. It's you that is judging yourself. So it's really true that you have to accept what you did first, have remorse for it, and let it go to truly experience your own self-love or that infinite connection that we're talking about with the true source of infinite creative intelligence. Because if you don't have that, then you can't express it to another person, right? And so there's a big talk now about self-love, and it's a beginning, but again, we carry it a step further to understand the source of where the love really is coming from. But I think it is important for people to understand that you can't go out and love another person unless you truly can love yourself. And how do you love yourself?
Right.
You have to understand yourself. You know, you have to understand why you are the way you are. That's why we study past life therapy. And then, well, it's because of this past life continuity, and I accept it and release it and let it go and move on.
Thank you. Yep. And Jennifer?
I think she covered that very wonderfully.
She did, yes. I have more questions, but I'll keep them for another day because we only have a few minutes left. And I must say that a lot of people are attracted to Unarius initially because of the UFO symbolism, and others because of the past life therapy path that's made available to them. But Unarius is actually a way to tap into, to embody, and to express infinite love. So I was thinking future episodes, maybe in closing, we can give people something, regardless of what we're talking about, we can give people something to think about from the Unarian revelations that will make their life more loving and more harmonious.
Well, there's a beautiful dissertation on love that Uriel gave when she was in the psychodrama Isis and Osiris from when Jennifer, the late 70s, early 80s? Was it the early 80s?
Yeah.
And at that time, it was a lifetime after Atlantis, the demise of Atlantis, and Isis and Osiris founded a new civilization in ancient Egypt, pre the pyramids and all that, 10,000 years ago. And Isis speaks on love is a clip from that video, that psychodrama, and you can find it on Unarius's YouTube channel, Unarius 33. It's only about 13 minutes long. It's very beautiful and very powerful. So that's what I would suggest. And then I'd also suggest that people join us on February 19th. We're celebrating Unarius' 68th anniversary virtually via Zoom. And if you go on our website under events, you'll see a synopsis of it. And then there's a link to register on Zoom to get the login and passcode. It's going to be 1 to 2:30 p.m. Pacific time. And there'll be singing and historical film and with some footage that's never been seen before and creative expressions and all demonstration of love and action and honoring the success of the Norman's mission. And the success of the mission is really the healing of all of us students and the creative expressions that we're have done and continue to do, because that is truly what happens when you have this infinite love in your life. The creativity flows, right?
Mm. Right. Great way to experience it. So I encourage everyone to sign up and go online and be there. They can experience the infinite love even more.
I will post the link so that people can do that if they congregate on my page. And there are other ways to find your way to Unarius. Can you share those a little bit?
Well, we have a new Vimeo channel. I mentioned the YouTube channel, Unarius 33. And Jennifer, you want to give maybe our main website or whatever else you were going to say?
Yeah, unarius.org, www.unarius, UNARIUN.ORG.
And thank you, and I want to thank you again for bringing more light and love into my life, certainly. And the AI must have less than a minute left, so thank you very much. Happy Valentine's Day to both of you and to all those you love in your life. And thanks to all for tuning in. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys, amazing adventures, and lots of love. Thanks again, Celeste. Thanks a lot, Jennifer.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Hercules.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.